Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn. With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? My name's Chris Fairbanks.
My name is Karen Colgareth.
Colgareth?
That's the new way I'm pronouncing it.
You're Karen Colgareth.
That's, I'm in high school now, so I have to be cool.
You constantly have to re-identify yourself.
Yeah,
just... Mine is misusing words. Yours is mispronouncing your name.
Mispronouncing my own name. Karen Colgareth.
A lot of people mess up your name.
They do, often.
I've heard Kilgariff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Do you live in a castle?
Seriously.
We are about to pick up Jackie Cation, who is terrific.
One of our favorites.
And a podcast legend, if you will.
Yes. The Dork Forest is her podcast, which is hilarious. I've been on it several times. I still don't understand, like, what my part on it was.
It was probably guest.
Yes, but I mean, on it, you talk about the thing that you dork out about.
Oh.
And I didn't really get that. So
right.
The first time I did it, I talked about loving Sandra Bullock. I was going to say being in love with Sandra Bullock, but that's not totally accurate. I don't know her.
You just love her work.
I love her as a best friend.
If you took a poll from just a cross-section of people as to, you know, whether or not they loved Sandra Bullock... The ones that said, no, I don't much care for her, I would question them as Americans.
Fuck yeah. I think I would question them as human beings.
What's not to like?
I think that's a sociopath test.
Yeah.
Do you like Sandra Bullock? No, I don't really care about her.
Oh,
okay,
you mean only yourself?
Yeah, just you. And you're going to murder me, is what you're saying.
That's what you're saying. I'm reading between the lines.
This is my new stutter to show that I'm upset.
Oh. Yeah, I love her work.
She's the greatest. I was going to mention, even though it's so drab of me to do, but it's fucking boiling here in Burbank, California. We're going to the Burbank Airport to pick Jackie up, and it is, this morning when I checked, or not, you know, this afternoon, it was 102.
Really?
It's the kind of weather where I just walked out of CVS to get into Chris's car that was parked directly in front of CVS, and the whole time I was making a low moaning sound because it's that hot.
That was 15 feet.
Yeah, and the whole time I was like,
did you do it past the adorable boy that I want to kidnap only because I want to raise him?
Raise him?
No funny business.
Come on.
God, it seemed like his mom didn't appreciate him.
She didn't. She was making him sell candy for his football team.
Oh, maybe. You know, that's actually a motherly thing.
It is. But you would, if you had him as your own, you would teach him tap dancing lessons or jujitsu.
Oh, little tap dance shoes. You know what? I'm starting to think I don't really care about kids as much as just smaller clothing.
Yes.
Tiny shoes. I go to the store and I look at these little Nike running shoes, overpriced little kid shoes.
You do, though?
Oh, I just hold them. Yeah, I do.
That hand gesture.
I'm in that section. I let everyone watch me do it, and I pick up, and I make the same low moaning sound that you do. Well, I just hold these little shoes. I hope so.
Shoes. Oh, my God. They're so small.
These will look perfect in my slightly oversized dollhouse.
Imagine if you worked retail, and it's like you've been on, like, a six-hour shift. You're 4 hours in, you walk through your folding stuff, pretending to work, and then you hear a low moaning from the children's shoe area, and you have to take care of it.
Can I help you get something for your son? I just like to hold them, and I'm wearing lipstick.
And the John Lithgow wig from The World According to Garth.
Oh, that's the one I didn't watch in my film festival of Robin Williams movies.
Oh, it's a lot, but I love John Irving. But there's a lot going on in that movie.
Yeah, I watched it as a kid. It was a very vivid day. I had just gone to after-school ski program. My pants were very wet. I was sitting. I was making Valentine's Day. Valentine's. The best time to make Valentine's for other
all
children.
Year long.
Yeah, fifth grade. Watch The World According to Garth.
Can I ask? Fifth grade is a pretty crucial year because that's when you start actually. Those Valentines could mean something. Was there anyone that year that you were like, there was an electrically charged Valentine that you were making?
Yes. Shannon, a girl named Shannon.
Doherty.
A lot of people said one eye was lower than the other, but it didn't bother me because my heart was in the right place.
Right between those two eyes.
Right between those tits. Oh, she was a child.
She was a fifth grader, for Christ's sake.
Oh, she had such tiny shoes. Later, I fulfilled that dream by going to the junior prom with her at a different high school than mine.
Ooh.
And they all were band kids. One of them had...
Band from a different high school? Or...
Yeah. And I wasn't even in band anymore. I was breaking so many cool rules. One of the guys played saxophone, and he had little business cards, and they said, always practice safe sax.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Am I? Should I go here?
Yep. That child is my Uncle John's hero. I mean, a child who loves puns so much he makes business cards.
I remember we were juniors in high school, and I remember talking to him, and I'm like, you are 50 years old.
Hello, Vistaprint? Yes, I don't have a credit card. Because I'm a sophomore.
I've never had sex and probably won't for another decade, but I...
These cards will guarantee that. How many can I get? Back to safe sex.
Yeah.
Just what kind of goofy father dominated that kid's life?
I do remember that his dad was the band leader.
Oh, he buried the lead.
What a...
God, I'm getting out.
Wait, we're still moving.
I
can't. Well, we lost Karen. Did you muffle your voice so it sounded like you jumped out of the car? We're in my Honda Accord. It's an 08.
Oh, and this air conditioning is better than ever.
It is. Oh, I'm so glad I paid that $500.
Oh, it was the best $500 for me you've ever spent.
We're at the Bob Hope Airport.
Jackie, so you're going to have to get over one lane, but all these... jackanapes are going to be doing a bunch of dumb parking stuff.
Oh,
so just keep going straight.
Okay.
And don't worry about them, and then you'll sneak over to the right lane, because I believe Terminal 2 is over there.
Oh, okay.
2 or B? Because this is A.
That woman goes to the same school of directing traffic by pointing at your own face. She said she's wearing green horizontal stripes.
Oh,
I said,
Jackie!
You're not supposed
there
to.
There she is.
Ooh, I wish we were picking up that hot number.
There.
All right. Oh, I'm going to go right in front of her, actually.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Jackie,
yeah, yeah,
Jackie,
yeah, yeah,
Jackie, Jackie.
Look at her.
Jackie.
She's ready to go. She doesn't even give a shit.
I hope that there's room. I'll be embarrassed if there isn't room in my trunk.
Is your pottery wheel back there?
Is it bad? It might be bad, Jackie.
She's making it work. Like any good Cajun would.
Oops.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jackie.
Jackie Cation.
Was there room in the trunk?
There was plenty of room in the trunk. Very exciting.
Right?
This is a tall, skinny bike. Nice work.
Where are you coming from?
I am coming from a whirlwind tour all over the world.
Oh.
Where was I? I was in Billings.
Montana.
I'm from that state.
I've flown through the Salt Lake City Airport 6 times in the last 4 days.
No way.
Every single flight connecting.
No.
Every single flight connecting through Salt Lake.
Did you save a bundle of money doing it that way?
I did save a
bundle. That's
good. Well, I went to weird places, too, that didn't have direct flights.
Like where else?
Billings, and then we went from Billings to Portland, Oregon.
Oh, over there. Follow those cars, sorry.
Okay. Oh, that's quite all right. I don't come to the Burbank Airport very often.
You usually do LAX, is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not elitist. That's just where I live near.
Let me tell you something. If you were elitist, you'd fly out of here.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
That's right.
It is. This seems like a private country club, except with airplanes instead of golf.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very beautiful. They have rules. You can't take off after 10 p.m.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, because of the neighborhood.
That's nice.
Because it ruins the neighborhood.
Because I live in this neighborhood, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why they thought of you. They said, oh, she's going to want to. She's going to want that to quiet down.
None of my dinner parties have ever been ruined by this.
Do you ever use a charger? Anyway, when you set the table. I've always wondered about those. Anyway.
So, like for the candles?
No, you know how like there's a big plate that goes underneath the eating plate?
Oh,
that's what I like to call it, an eating plate. And then on top of the eating plate is a salad plate.
Oh, yes.
And right there next to your munching fork.
Right next to the pokey thing that you stick in your face. And
the food prong?
The food prong with the sharp thing.
Yeah, the meat stick, I know.
the meat cutter. So, yeah, so Billings, Portland, Oregon, and then Seattle.
The charger is the decorative plate under the main plate.
That's it.
I knew something.
I couldn't hate that guy more.
He wouldn't let you over?
No.
Yeah.
Couldn't hate you more.
Doesn't
I'm going to look at him.
Part of it.
It's a team.
He won't look at me.
Chris just gave the most hilarious.
Just full of rage.
That was a real look. That he gave this guy a look.
I want to turn right. Am I correct in wanting that?
In an ideal world.
Yeah. Well, sometimes your world. Where'd you go after Portland, Jackie?
Well, that was the crazy part. Because what I was doing was a beautiful tour with where I was opening. Hey.
Let's go.
No, you don't want to do that happen. What I did was I put that in there.
Oh, and, nice.
There's a thing.
The way to go.
Yeah, way to go.
Oh, you'll
you can be in charge
mother.
Of that. And you can do whatever you want. You can
Play games. It's on child safety.
Oh, God, I love Waze. It Waze encourages you to drive and play games on your
exactly.
iPad.
The Ways and Means Committee is what I always call it. So what happened was I was opening for Mr. Brian Regan.
Oh, he's every comic's favorite.
Oh. Look at that tone of voice the two of you.
One of the I got to open for him in San Francisco when I first started, and it was like a religious
treat.
Experience.
Yeah, because then you get to watch Brian Regan.
Yeah.
That's the greatest
comedy.
Part of it. Do stand-up comedy for hours on end.
And one time, this just popped into my head.
Yeah.
One time in the late 90s, we had this Christmas party that Brian Regan, I guess... No, really? Sorry,
I think so.
I would have
told
you that.
Up to that next light, the red one.
Oh, right, because we're cutting over.
That's it.
Certain directions. I'm the worst co-pilot.
That's okay.
And then you go forever.
Oh, terrific.
Once you're on this thing, you go straight shot.
Oh, we're about to go towards the questionable warehouse district.
That's right.
That's it.
Yes.
Couldn't love it more. But Brian Regan came to a party, basically, is what I'm bragging about, when I was in my late 20s, and was the most delightful party guest. I walked into the kitchen at one point, and he was... looking through, I had like an old Better Homes and Gardens recipe book that was my mom's that I took with me when I moved out. And he was looking.
Sorry. Every time she mentions her mother, I choke. it's like a drinking game.
He absolutely hates my mother. It's insane.
Oh, God. All right.
All right.
I hope she's not part of this story. I might die.
No, that was the last time I'll mention that.
Okay, good.
But he was just the whole joke of it was that he was looking through a recipe book and making... He was pretending to laugh at the recipes. Like, he was acting like a stuck-up, bitchy housewife, so it was like as if he was criticizing my recipes.
Oh, right.
It was pretty
hilarious.
That
is a good story.
I'm glad I powered through all of that to get to the end.
A pound of sugar. Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, this thing bears left, and then you take a right at the next light.
Okay, terrific.
So, there you go.
Guys, should we buy a warehouse in this district and just become a part of it?
I would like to build my own Quonset hut, much like these.
Like this?
And then like, fake, like, age it.
And then we...
Yeah.
Did you tell me to turn... I'm
bearing left.
Oh, bearing.
Bearing left, and then a right at this light. And then it's forever.
No matter if there's
lights.
We're
just trying to get out of the airport.
I'm always... I just want to get off those railroad tracks.
Yeah. Boom.
That's bad luck.
Done and done. Well... Here's what happened, was this is the third time I've opened for it, and it's exciting. Every time I do it, I think, how will I fuck this up? How will I destroy any rapport that we have?
Mm-hmm.
He's a perfectly nice man, and he's a great comic. It's really fascinating to watch for him. But the crazy thing, of course, is that he's performing for somewhere between 1,200 and 3,000 people every time you go up.
Wow.
And so every time it's hilarious to me. Because he's also, he does it so regularly, he has to work on new material in front of 1,200 to 3,000 people.
Yeah.
And his persona, his act, his stage presence is big enough that he fills that room. And he can take 2 or 3 minutes and work on something new and fill out that room the way I, or the way everybody else does, 200, 300 people.
Right.
Yes.
And so he can tell if that, well, this is not the place to try that.
Yeah.
I heard him do a thing about gun control, or try to, in Florida.
Oh, of course.
Where he is from. And at one point, he actually said to the audience, "You guys know me. I am for everybody's side. We will figure this out." And it made me laugh so hard.
Did that change? Did they loosen
up?
Yeah,
they calmed down a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he was talking, because the thing is, he's genuinely sane. Like, he's not going to tell them to get rid of their guns. He's not going to tell them to get guns.
He just wants to discuss it.
He wants to talk about it in a funny way.
I only want your guns once I'm prying it from your cold, dead hands.
Exactly.
I read your
t-shirts.
We just
want to talk about how we're going to get you cold and dead. What's the problem?
He just wants to figure out the goofy joke that he wants to tell about it, because his stand-up is, if you don't know Brian Regan, it is very smart, but it is very silly.
Yes.
Right.
And so it is the best of both of those worlds.
He's the original leaving the plane and the stewardess saying, or getting on or whatever, like, have a nice flight. You too.
That right, thing. Just a weird, yeah.
That is the joke that stands out the most for me when I was younger. I think it was a cab or something. In the version I heard, Karen.
I could have it totally wrong.
Have a nice flight. Yeah, you too.
You too.
If you do fly someday, I'm not saying you are now, but one day you might get on an airplane. I'm an idiot. That's what.
Yeah.
And oh, I'm like, right. That's a pretty good impression.
It's one of the easier ones.
Because he does like an hour of his new stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll come back out for like 5 to 20 minutes. We'll do requests.
Oh,
you're kidding.
I love that.
Yeah, so I was on many tiny planes.
How do you feel about those? I am not afraid to fly, mm-hmm. and I've ridden on a couple of those that scared the shit out of me.
So, well, I get scared when they feel like they're going to fall.
Right.
But if they don't, I'm good.
Okay.
You think at some point in the sky, the plane will just cease existing being a plane and will fall like an object?
Well, what I tend to do is if it gets super, super bumpy, I think, oh, this might be it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think, why don't you treat it like an off-road experience? And then I think, because when you're in a car, your car could flip at any time in an off-road experience.
Sure.
And then you might die in that situation.
So you just pretend the airplane is suddenly a four-wheeler.
Exactly. Well, and maybe it'll right itself. And it's even got a better chance.
The last few times there's been horrible turbulence. I hope this is just because I fly a lot now, but if turbulence gets bad and people start making audible noises because they're scared,
yeah,
a calm washes over me and I'm not... does that mean I'm not afraid to die and therefore I'm depressed?
No, it means that you don't care about other people.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, good.
It just means you're like, oh, these assholes.
These
don't
assholes
know
ruining my time.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure that whatever I was feeling was healthy.
You know what? I think that's probably part of that. Sounds like it's almost like a first responders thing where it's like, if everyone else is going to freak out, you're just going to hang back.
Right.
But like, you'll come into action if it's the real deal.
You know, right. I freak out and line at the bank and things like that. But if shit hits the fan and there's bodies, a calm washes over me because I'm a goddamn hero.
That's right.
Okay, I have this to say about the lines. That is Brian Regan's dorkdom. We did a dork for us driving on the tour bus from Portland to Seattle. At 1 o'clock in the morning, we recorded the dork for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he is obsessed with lines, how people line up, the problem with lines, how people skip in line, these type of things. And he was like, I don't think I could talk about it for an hour. And I said, you have three 6-minute bits about courtesy right now that you're closing on. I think, yeah, you got it.
You can riff.
Let me tell you something. 57 minutes.
Yeah.
He talked about standing in lines. And it was hilarious and full of rage and then full of revelation. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful episode of the
I can't wait.
It has not yet dropped?
No, it has not. I have one more episode before it.
Oh, I speak wait. About podcasts like they're hip-hop albums.
Someone made fun of dropping, and then I was like, doesn't it? Isn't it dropping?
Yeah.
I don't think there's another word for that.
I mean, if everyone else can act like they're a rapper, then you can say that your podcast is going to drop.
Favorite hip-hop line that you can remember offhand?
A murder contest. You know I'll win it, because in every mailbox there's a head with a knife in it.
This is my favorite question I've ever asked. I need to ask everyone this question.
I guess mine
Who's
would
saying
be...
that? I'm sorry. Let me ask Chris.
Sorry. Yeah, yes. Ghetto Boys out of Houston, Texas. They did Damn It Feels Good
that?
To Be a Gangster.
Yes.
That's what they're famous on.
So
that
had to be
92, 91?
Good choice, good choice. Yeah. Mine, of course, Romance with No Finance is a Damn Nuisance, which is Big Daddy Kane, 1989.
Nice.
I love where you just change the emphasis on a word so it rhymes with the other.
It is pretty great, isn't
words.
It?
Yeah.
It wasn't her idea, though.
I was quoting the...
She's merely a vessel.
That's what my husband says. What? Ladies and gentlemen, dick jokes.
Someone's been on the road with Reagan. Reagan.
And not allowed to do any dick jokes, so yes.
You have to work clean?
Ooh. Yeah, you do. Only because there's a pile of 7 to 12-year-olds sitting in the front row.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it's weird.
That would horrify me.
That's kind of amazing.
It's terrifying just because you think you're going to get Tourette's in the middle of your set. But I still think stand-up comedy is an adult sport.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
I don't
for sure.
necessarily, because I don't change, I mean, I do my act.
Right.
And when his manager called me and asked me to do it, to open for him, he said, first of all, hilariously, said, have you ever heard of Brian Regan? And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard of Brian
Regan. I've heard of that name.
And then he goes, you're mostly clean, right? You're like 90% clean. And I said, yeah. And he goes, and you could clean the other 10. It's just swearing, right? And I said, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Just a series of outbursts. It's clean material, and then it's fuck, shit, piss.
And then she just screams fuck and kicks the floor for 5 minutes.
Seems like goddamn cunts. Why? Why?
Get it out of your system. This is a safe thing. Let
this
it go,
This is a private
Jackie.
Moment for me, well, but I'm going to do it on stage.
And I was like, of course. Not a problem.
Wow.
And
it's because the kids come to the shows?
And it's because the kids go to the show. And he says, I don't care. You know, and Brian doesn't care. It's just, but people bring their kids and they have expectations.
No, my instinct would be if there's kids, even if there's only a handful of them, or elderly, I change my entire act for 5 people, and that's not the right thing
and
to do.
And get all uncomfortable, yeah.
But I don't want to have any kind of, the good thing about grown-ups, it's comforting, is you're not going to change their mind about anything, but with little kids, what if they remember that I say fuck, shit, piss?
Of course.
And then they say it. That's their first words. I assume their baby's there, too.
You're just bringing infants to your show at the Improv at 9.
Who brings a baby?
But you know what? I watched most of the first stand-up I ever saw in my Aunt Kathleen's living room in Millbrae, California, on a VHS tape. Why can't they fucking stay home until they're 18?
Yeah.
Like, the kids these days, it's like, no, but you're the exception to the rule. You go watch a comedian. You're 7. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. Well, the weird thing is like, all my nieces and nephews, they can't come until they're 16.
Yeah.
And then I do a special dispensation. And then I'm just like, you can come.
What does that mean?
Because I don't want to have the conversation with my siblings about their children hearing whoever's opening for me, right?
Yes.
Because I don't know what asshat's going to be, you know, rattling through whatever they're doing, right? I can't control the whole show.
No, I used to open for Margaret, and when we came to San Francisco, like a huge chunk of my family came, and I ran into my Aunt Mary, who's a nun, in the bathroom, and I was like, you can't blame me for what happens when she's on stage.
Right.
She's going to say shit you have never imagined people saying before. And she was like, Karen, we're all adults. And then I looked at my family when Mark was on stage, and literally they were just staring, like, with their mouths open.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was, yeah. I was just like, look, I tried to tell you.
Right. It's what's funny about my entire family and many of my friends from college is that they're like, I don't like stand-up comedy, but you're great. So we're going to come see the show. And I'm like, don't.
I'll just come to your house.
Yeah, don't.
I'll eat.
Let's have dinner.
I have albums, and you can listen and be supportive.
Yeah, you make food, and I'll use the mouth stabby thing.
Especially if I'm opening for Bamford or Brian Regan, where you're like, if you don't enjoy them as much or greater than you did me, You're not paying attention.
Yes.
You're out of your mind.
Right. That's one thing I can't stand when people you know or family go to a show and it's like they're rooting for you.
Yeah.
Like
right. No. There's no competition.
Yeah. Please. Oh, I thought you were better than the second guy. Yeah.
Keep your voice down.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Chris Rock.
It's what I want you to say, but you can't say it here.
Right. You don't. You can think it. You can say that you like me the best of all the comedians. Because my stepmother, she did say one time to me, "You know who my favorite comic is?" And I was like, "Think about what you're about to say." And she goes, Norm MacDonald. I was like, I think he's very funny as well.
Yeah, hard to argue. My dad did that once where he said, I think probably my favorite comic I've ever seen is Ron Lynch. And I was just
oh my God, that's hilarious.
You're reason I'm up there. Reason number 55,000.
I'll tell you this about the Waze program. It is sending you my Batcave way to my house.
Oh, that's
terrific. So you're
terrific.
Hanging left at this light.
I love Waze.
It's an obstacle course at this point.
Told us about traffic lights. It's told us about possible police.
We've gotten points and
yeah, you earn, and then you drive through. It's like a Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Also,
we've gotten some Bitcoins on here.
You know, it's Andy Ashcraft, my person.
Yeah, what? Yeah.
Jesus, the word husband is so weird.
It's such a weird word. It's weird. I don't like it.
You've had trouble with that word before. I remember.
I'm not great with it.
My fellow human, man.
My fella. And whatever, but he makes video games, and he said that we are in the Match 3 era of video game design.
What's that mean?
It's Bejeweled, it's Candy Crush. Right now I'm playing two different versions of Bejeweled Candy Crush kind of game, based on the movies Maleficent and Frozen.
Oh.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
They're out there. They're called Free Fall, guys.
They're really
boring.
Those are mashups. I fell asleep during the description.
Right, you need to stop the voices.
Can I tell you that on Facebook, there's a guy that broke my nose senior year. He wore cowboy hats to school.
So glad you're still friends with him.
I didn't even know he was on my Facebook, but I did know when he invited me to play Bejeweled Blitz.
Right, because you just do the thing I do, which is confirm, confirm, confirm?
No, not with the game stuff. I get mad, but usually it's from an older lady, and I'm like, sure, lady, why are you here? I'll be your
friend.
You
can block the game. You can block the game. But you don't have to block the player.
Not only did he break my nose, I fell into a fire, and it burnt off my leg hair.
Are you throwing up?
It seems like this whole drive, even when I've said things, it's a series of vomits.
Let me tell you about the smoke that's coming out of this restaurant.
Oh, yeah. This is a barbecue place, Jackie.
It is, but it used to be a check cashing place, and they put a grill there, and they have blown the fuck up. I pop a K-Rico, ladies and gentlemen.
For real?
Wow.
Yeah.
You mean, awesome. Like, it's super popular?
Super popular, and the food is amazing.
Like, the checks and the barbecue combining.
Yeah, of course. It has done very well.
See the smoke coming out of that restaurant? It's because they've blown the fuck up.
Allow me to use other terms that don't sound right coming out of my joke hole. Hey, that guy's throwing shade.
That guy's trying to get out of the sun?
Yep. It's 105 degrees.
Exactly right. It's boiling hot.
Oh, I just love the idea of them cooking food with these
people trying to cash checks.
Unsigned checks.
Right. Hanging a rag.
We are. Oh, now we can speak freely now.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you, guy that should be in the South somewhere?
this is an area where you're going to see a lot of pickup trucks. Am I right, Jackie?
Yeah, this is I live among the working class. This is a blue-collar neighborhood, folks.
Great houses. Great houses around here. People really take pride in their lawns, a lot of succulents over here. Those are huge aloe plants.
Those are really beautiful aloe plants.
My mom used to snip those off, and when I had a sunburn, she'd rub it on my back.
That's so beautiful.
But she really, the best part is she'd always leave a thorn or two.
Yeah.
So she'd be cutting my back while soothing it.
Oh, not good.
Sure.
But it's a good
That's her way of saying, remember who's in charge.
And in a lesson, and there's always good with the bad. We've That's only right. been going about a half hour.
Yeah, we could sit in front of my house and chit-chat.
Let's do that. Yellow?
Oh, yellow.
That's such a good color.
Let me tell you about my car. It's been sitting in the sun for the last 6 months.
It has melted?
It's kind of melted. The paint job is kind of blown. And I like to see those. Oh, see the feet? See
yes,
the feet?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Those are youth. Those are
alley youth?
Alley youth are in the back of our house.
Should I drive by them? I'll give them some stink eye.
No,
it's okay. They're leaning against our garage because the only thing, Grandpa Ashcraft went out the other day and said to him, you guys can be out here doing whatever you want to do. Just don't litter, which is the greatest.
Were they
totally cool about
that's
it.
That's chill, bro.
Because we live right by a high school, and swear to God, they might be drinking a 40, they might be smoking pot, but 9 times out of 10, they are staring at their phones, hiding from their family.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about right before, is because you see people, especially in like Echo Park, I'll see kids just sitting in a car that's idling. And I think it's because it's like I live with my grandparents and my parents. And
right, they're 15 years old.
Six brothers and sisters.
Remember the hour and a half, 2 hours after school where you're like, I don't want to go back there.
It was 7-Eleven.
You have to.
We would just drive to 7-Eleven and then drive around.
I just didn't want to hear the theme song to MASH. That's why I hated being at home around.
Suicide is painless.
So sad.
It's after 5. I can go. That is a lyric, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
God, if you want to have fun, listeners, go listen to the MASH television.
Booby, booby, booby,
boo. Oh, the lyrics. It used to be a series of boobies, I thought. But it's actually...
Oh, no. That's the more upbeat. That's the upbeat version.
Blood that shoots right out your veins.
It's exactly what you think it is.
I like that we're now like high school students hanging out in a car, chilling.
This is it. Right? Let me tell you about my neighborhood.
You've taken the kind of... You were laying down with an elbow down like you do on a fur rug.
Yeah, Jackie was doing the draw me like one of your French girls stance.
I'm in the pop secret seat. In the back seat here.
I like
where,
it.
It's nice. I'm leaning into it. I'm catching some eye contact. We got a lot of my people live in this neighborhood across the street. They're constantly redoing the inside of their house.
Oh, it's lovely. Harmonious. This house with a Lexus, a BMW, and an Audi?
Yes. Yeah, yes. They spent all of they all live together so they can afford those cars.
Do you, now would you say that Armenians are car proud and that's a thing they really invest in?
It feels like.
As a status thing?
It does. It feels like first generation immigrants. They're like, no, we've made it.
Yes.
We've made it. We're doing this.
Here's the proof.
Here's a guy who wasn't an immigrant, had glitz all over his, I stayed in what was called Saddam Hussein's guest house in Baghdad.
For real?
Yeah, because I went on like a
please say it was
forces.
A USO tour.
Yeah, it was an armed forces entertainment thing.
It was a really fucked up carnival cruise.
It was the worst gig. Holy smokes, triple run. And that joke
triple,
never
gets old.
And but that
now I know we in triple. That's why when I did a triple run, that's what I kept saying.
Over and
I didn't
over again.
Just now.
That needed to be said a lot.
Alone in a car, you were just saying
but
it.
But not repeated today.
I think the kids are still saying it. They're working the road.
Is a triple run is that like a booker?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you guys were making a deep Star Trek reference.
He's like he's a low rent Yoder, if that helps.
Oh.
It doesn't, because remember, she's from the Bay Area. You would have worked for Tribble if you have ever had any interest in doing road one-nighters.
Right. I was such a Miss Pris that I just never did anything I didn't have to do.
Right. Maria Bamford also, as a fucking hothouse flower, she's like, no, you enjoy that. You knock yourself out. That'll be great.
I did a couple, and they almost broke me psychologically, and so I was like, I gotta avoid this shit as much as I can.
Yeah. Yeah, and what happened was is you build character in other ways.
There are other
ways to learn stand-up comedy than to throw yourself on the mercy of 9 career drunks in the middle of Montana.
Yeah, when I did some opening for Maria, I liked that, because we were in San Francisco at the Punchline, which is a safe place.
The safest of all spaces.
But on weekends, it was enough just weekend warriors that were going for just, hey, I have the day off, let's go for some general entertainment, that the next time we went there, she did it on a Wednesday.
Right.
Because then it was packed with people that were there.
That knew what the heck they were coming to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't need stumble fucks.
Yeah.
Like, let's go see stand-up comedy and not ever look into what kind of stand-up comedy they're seeing.
I honestly talk about that all the time where it's like, I know I'm...
Stumble fucks.
That is my term.
I'm sorry.
For them.
I thought of a cartoon man walking pantsless with an erection, tripping and landing on his wife.
And carrying a beer.
And her then carrying a baby. with fetal alcohol syndrome.
And both of them going, hick.
Is that an Andy Cap recipe?
Yeah.
Recipe?
That's a recipe for comedy. Hey, Andy Cap and a bottle of booze.
Taking a face first nap on a couch.
Did you guys know that High and Lois, Lois is the sister of Beetle Bailey?
Is that true?
They are related.
I had no idea.
It was the same artist.
And it is the same universe.
Wow.
A tiny universe
that's crazy.
Up of very mediocre comic strips.
What was that family's origin story? Did anyone get murdered?
Beetle Bailey. You know, he was in the service.
So he did some murdering himself.
Yeah. So what I have to say about is that Saddam Hussein's guest house was full of first generation. It would be like if my grandmother had been given $1 million. And then spent like half of it on things that were real, like parquet floors
and bobby pins
and beautiful cars, and then ran out of money and had chandeliers made out of plastic.
Oh no.
Yeah. So that's what the Saddam Hussein guest house looked like.
This really was
Saddam Hussein's guest house.
It really was. Yes. I thought it was just called that.
No.
That's amazing that you stayed there.
It was weird.
Do we own that as America? Because
we used to, and then they were like, "Well, we're all." I went there when we were pulling out of Baghdad to give it back to him, but we were pulling like a mile and a half away.
Yeah,
it was the so not. We're not leaving.
It's not a good situation.
No, it's not positive. I don't want to go back. I was only telling jokes.
I went surfing in Costa Rica with a group of friends, and one of them was an ex-Marine. Who, in a group of six people, killed Uday and Hussein? Remember
really?
That?
He was one of the guys who killed Uday and Hussein?
And he was just a tattooed surfer. He was just reading Snowboarder magazine. But he knew how to kill people. But he didn't seem like that type of person. It kind of changed my mind about just all military people being unbalanced or scary.
Right.
Because he was goofy and... He didn't want to talk about it.
Right.
And I'm sure he was riddled with darkness.
As we all are.
But it was so interesting to me. And he was wealthy from it.
There was a lot of cash and prizes.
Yeah. Oh, you did this? Well, you get to retire now. And
yeah. That would make sense.
For a young person, as well. I think he got an extra $65,000 a year just to be an ex-Marine.
Okay, well, here's the thing, is I went in, because I was raised, my father was in the service, and whenever any of my brothers, or even my sister wanted to join the service, he would always say, you know, you can just leave town. You don't have to join, and he was in the, 6 years he was in the Marines.
That's so great.
He was like, you don't have to do this. You can make $2.50 an hour doing...
Elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Yeah, my dad was in the Army, and boy, he never would have let me.
Right.
Even if I said I want to, he'd be like, no, go on vacation.
Yeah.
And my liberal, and a couple of my siblings are very liberal, and I've always hung out with hippies, and we always thought that they were, you know, I always had a very preconceived notion about people in the service. And then when I did this tour, and I did it, not for the best. Whenever anybody thanks me, I'm like, the story of why I did this is not, I am not the hero of this. I did it because I'm against war, because I'm against hitting. And so I'm against everything above hitting.
Sure.
And so I was like, okay, well, if I go to Iraq and then I say I'm against the war, people are like, well, have you been to Iraq? And I could say, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Smart.
But which is a very dumb reason to put yourself in harm's way. As dumb as joining the service to some extent. But I met some of the greatest, like, I would say 90% of the people that I met literally just joined to be of service.
Right.
They wanted to do something to help.
Wow.
And there was, you know, you would meet people, but you do at every job.
90%?
Of the people I met.
Oh, right.
I don't know if that would be the
murderers go to bed early, maybe, and don't watch the comedy show.
Right. And you would meet, like, these tool bags who were like, you know, I'm winning the war by myself, you know, feel my muscle, you're only safe when you're standing right next to me. And,
right.
Mm, hi.
Gross.
Tool bags.
What are you doing for the rest of your life?
The greatest man of all time.
Exactly. And even the other soldiers would be like, yeah, don't worry about Jim.
Jim's away from Jim.
He's all right. He's just a mess. Try not to be alone with him.
He's just a fun-loving cartoon character with a lot of blood on his hands.
Right, who happens to possibly attack people when they're not looking.
Well, that's the interesting thing, as I think, like, a lot, I know people who have been in the military, and they went in to get college degrees.
Okay.
You know, in the early 90s, late 80s,
yeah,
when war was such a foreign concept.
Yeah.
It was so not happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been happening now for 15 years in this country.
Yeah.
It's insane. But back then it was kind of like, oh, I'll get a free ride. I'll just go be on this base for, you know,
right,
a couple weekends or whatever. And it just wasn't
and
like that.
And then later you're in the National Guard and you get to help with floods and,
yeah,
and hurricanes and sad things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. But then he ended up going to the Gulf War. The Robin is the person I'm thinking of. He got this full amazing education for doing it, but he ended up going to the Gulf War, which he was like, I lucked out. So, like,
oh,
I did all my service, I did everything, and it was like, we got out, we got in, we got out, and it was okay.
And it was over.
And they were super lucky.
Yeah. It's super weird, and you're just, it was, yeah.
Didn't we just start a war last week?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
New,
yeah.
Oh,
we're,
yeah.
We're in, we're out.
We're in.
God, it's so awful.
What did, yeah, there's, I didn't mean to bring everybody down. I was
no.
just talking about my Armenian cousins.
It can't all be shits and giggles.
Back to the Armenians, finally.
Armenians are always cheerful. What they're trying to do is take over Azerbaijan at this time.
Anyway. And they're trying to take over the sidewalk in my neighborhood. They love to pull a folding chair out and have a conversation and not acknowledge you.
Let me tell you something. They are the nicest people, but I can't. I've been in their house twice, and I've invited them into my house once. But you literally, it's hours, and the food comes, and it just keeps coming.
Yeah.
Like Fantasia.
Oh,
was
wow.
It amazing food?
Yeah, it was lovely. But I had eaten. I didn't know that I was not supposed to eat prior to going over there. And they have a fig tree, and they have a pool.
Is that the kind of situation where you can't have, you have to eat, even if you aren't hungry?
Kind of. A little bit. You get a nibble.
Yeah.
And then the other, both sides of our house, we had genuinely nice little ladies who lived there, who have, one of them passed away and one of them went into a retirement home, but they all gave us their picnic, their yard furniture.
Oh.
Which, weirdly enough, matched each other's.
Oh, wow.
And they'd both been here since the house was built in, like, 1951.
Because they both ordered out of the same Harriet Carter catalog.
I think so.
Right?
Everyone's grandparents have the exact same lawn furniture.
It's this cast iron with a leaf pattern. It's very beautiful.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, I know the chair. Heavy as the Dickens.
Don't tell me.
Don't tell me about cast iron 300-pound chairs that are uncomfortable.
Can I ask a question about Armenian food?
Yes.
What's their dessert?
Oh.
Like, what's the main famous?
It's just like a baklava kind of thing.
And that's what? The phyllo dough layered up with some walnuts in it?
Yeah. A lot of bullshit. Some honey.
Oh. Yeah, some honey on there.
I heard a sad story. Always bringing it down, Keisha. Always bringing it down. My grandmother, who was an amazing cook, she was known in her circles for her phyllo dough and baklava. None of us. I'm the youngest of six. None of us have a sweet tooth. We didn't like baklava. It almost killed her.
Oh.
Except for that she lived to be 101.
Wow.
So I think she might have been faking it.
Yeah, nothing really killed her.
Nothing killed her until
that little bit of poison that you guys served up was kept her strong.
Exactly.
101.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was old.
Yeah, I want to go that long.
If you're good.
Yeah.
If you still got it together.
Yeah, you're healthy and you know what you're doing.
Yeah. My great-grandma lived in Coronado. She lived to 101 as well.
That's neat.
She has her own holiday there, Helen Voris Day.
No.
There's a bench you can sit on with her name
what?
On it.
What?
Yeah, just because she was old and cool.
But you're so down to earth.
I know. And then that's the best way. Because then one night I think she was like, well, I've lived long enough. And they were like, yeah, okay, whatever, Helen. And then she died, just like made a decision one night. Yeah.
She Babe Ruth called it and no one paid attention.
That is like lucid dreaming, but it's your own death.
She pointed to the hospital bed in her room. I'm going.
Yeah, I'd like to be buried there. My dad was actually talking to the graveyard people, the Armenian graveyard in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Do you know it's $650 to be planted in perpetuity in a grave in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which I think dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, you
do? Unintended. Yeah, I think that's cheap. $650. Yeah. And
yeah,
but the
you're
thing
right.
is it's a spot in between my mother, his first wife, and his parents. And my stepmother, his second wife of many, many years, is planted next to her parents. And he was like, I don't know. I don't want to be next to no offense, your mom my entire life, you know, from all my death. And I was talking to the
some
and,
taken. Sorry, some taken.
Some taken. Offended. But I don't care. I was like, Dad, you're so not. But my sister was hilarious because she said, Dad, that's where we're planting you because I'm not going to two graveyards.
Yeah, yeah. It's
going
to be too late for you to start dating.
but he was talking to Armin Hajinian, a fine Armenian name, at the Armenian church in South Milwaukee, and he said, "What do you want for that spot?" And Armin Hajinian said, "It's $650, Elliot."
I can't believe that.
And my dad goes, "But who else are you going to sell that spot to? Nobody else is going to want that spot but me. I'll give you $25."
Oh, that's funny.
And Armin said to him, "Don't die, Elliot. Don't die. Because it's going to be $650.
Oh, wow. That's I just put down my cat last week.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. It sucked. Don't.
Well, you're a regular Jackie Cation, bringing it all down over here.
I held the cat while they injected him. He slowly went limp, and I closed his eyelids and tucked his tongue back into his face. But it was only $300. We opted to not get the ashes.
$300?
He wasn't doing well. Once they said, oh,
that was the AIDS cat,
he's
right?
Been blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the AIDS that killed him.
What did kill him?
They don't know.
Disappointment.
A lot of blood. The blood tests were more than the cost of having him put down.
Yeah.
I mean, there was just.
The blood tests were more than $300.
We ridiculed him. Yeah, it was very.
People should see my published works about my opinion about animals. Anyway,
and how too expensive they are,
and how
ridiculous.
Too expensive they are, and how we all got to wrap it up. Did you guys hear about my? I'm going to start a business where you bring your dog to me, and I tell you whether it has sleep apnea.
Oh,
yeah, I'm going to call that business CPUP. I'm here all week, you guys. CPUP. CPAP is what they give people. That's the name of the mask. And I'm going
to. You have to know that.
And do you know how many people have sleep apnea in America?
A shit ton. People
that
enough.
And they
that's
laugh
a great joke
out of their
tiny crazy.
Lizard minds with that joke. They think it's the greatest thing they've ever heard in their lives.
Do I have sleep apnea if I wake myself up snorting?
Yes.
Ah.
Or they want you to believe you do, so they want to strap a mask to you. Because the thing is every dog that comes to me will have sleep apnea. And I will sell you a mask.
Yeah.
Oh,
and the dog
right.
will chew that mask. Oh. And then I will sell you another mask.
That's a great business plan.
And then I will buy land. And then I will retire
and
with
you
your
will
marine
become
buddy.
Land rich.
I will become land rich and I will retire to Costa Rica with your marine buddy. Kill Uday and Amway.
I think
Amway?
Yeah, he used to sell Amway. Oh, that's terrific. That is a good way to make money. I think it's honorable. No one's going to call you out on it if you're somehow making money off pets.
Here's the thing: there's
little
so
sweaters.
Many people so willing to give their money for their pets.
Yeah,
that. Too bad. If that's what you're going to waste your money on, that's your choice.
I can talk people into saying dogs. They have eyes just like us. Why wouldn't they wear a tiny pair of sunglasses? And I'll make everyone's going to buy little doggy sunglasses.
Have you been to the animal eye clinic?
Is there one?
Yeah, it's right next to Jinkies on Ventura.
For real?
For real.
Do they have little glasses?
Have you guys ever heard my act? Anyway, it's I have contact lenses, I'm sure.
Is this new stuff?
Nope.
Oh,
no, it's
shit.
I went to the vault for you guys. The CPAP thing is new, but the Animal Eye Care Clinic is old. But it's the weirdest thing about all of this stuff with animals is that there's part of me that loves Los Angeles because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's every job that you never wanted to do
mm-hmm.
that someone says, I will do that. Because no one does want to clip their cat's toenails.
Right.
And someone is like, for $14, I'll do it. And then you're like, I will give you four, because I don't want to wrestle my cat.
Yeah.
And then they do 10 of those a day,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to work on Wednesday.
Right.
And so This is the most encouraging town in the world.
That's
They're
right.
like, please, yes, make that into a business.
The whole town is built on really rich people that will pay other people to do whatever.
Like one weird thing.
Yep.
But it's also a town of lonely people because, I've never lived anywhere where I was invited. I've been invited this year alone to 3 different dog birthday parties.
Oh.
And I think that's
that
because everyone's
that
lonely.
Really
they're
sad.
I can't
worse
find.
Than the war.
Yeah, that is worse than war for sure. That's awful.
People in LA like to treat their little dogs like a person.
Yeah, but you know what that is? That's like saying what they really are saying is, I need you to come and act like it's my birthday, but it's not, and I know that's crazy. So I'm going to project it onto this thing that doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
Yes.
And pretend that that matters, because I have a gaping hole of need. That's what. Right. That's the real subtext there.
I think
there.
You just kind of nailed it. And Chris had tried to put it a little more boldly.
Well, let's get rid of that.
Let's jettison that. Let me tell you about this guy who lives in front of the 7-Eleven in my
doesn't neighborhood. Know about the drought?
And
your neighbor doesn't know about...
There's a person that is wasting a shit ton of drought precious water on... Like, clearly, those are like evergreen hedges that don't need to be watered.
Right. They keep planting fruit trees.
Maybe she's watering those plants for ALS.
Well, maybe. They're all paralyzed?
Yeah.
Do you notice that our lawn super dead?
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I can't care.
Yeah.
We have a garden in the backyard that
I've seen your garden.
It's nice.
It's a nice
What do you got in that garden?
We got some cucumbers. Do you guys need cucumbers?
I don't need those.
You know, I've never needed a cucumber.
We also have pumpkins. They were volunteer pumpkins.
Oh, I eat pumpkins all the time.
How about watermelon?
Did you say they're volunteer pumpkins?
Yeah, volunteer vegetables are vegetables that just come out of, they start growing out of your compost heap.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden you have 12 goddamn pumpkins in June.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's amazing.
Thinks, no, I think they'll last until October. And so he sticks them in the fridge and you're like, they will be rotten by September. I really love you, but hate you. Yeah, get rid of these
pumpkins. I don't think we have to wait till Halloween to carve a jack-o'-lantern. I'll take one of those pumpkins.
Okay, when we get out of this car, you're taking at least
one. I am taking a pumpkin.
That's a great thing to take to the party.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to Andy Wood's party?
I was thinking about it, but I'm going to go to Uncap tonight.
Oh, are you doing it?
No, you and Aaron Foley are doing it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And I'm going to go watch you guys do it on Aaron Foley's birthday.
You didn't know you had a show?
No, I did.
Now you're not going to the pool party.
No, I am going to the pool party. It's only
I said you're not. I'm just kidding.
You go home and put on a nice outfit.
This might be the last.
Go to Andy Woods. Yeah, he's a good egg.
Yeah, yeah. You think?
I like him.
Let's do it.
I was going to go to that and then just go down to Uncabaret. It never starts till 8:30 anyway.
Right.
So I figure it should be fine.
It should be fun. Yeah, I'm just going to... I went to a weird secret bar after Largo the other night.
Ooh, one right next door?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secret bar full of people with $300 haircuts.
Yeah.
And I walk in and I'm like, hey, pile of haircuts. I don't want to see you people.
I don't.
And so I hung out for about a half an hour and then I turned to one of the comics next to me and I said, I'm going to pretend I'm going to go get a soda and never come back.
The best. The only way to do it. Yeah, you got to go.
Is that the bar where they all have suspenders?
I did not.
It's old-timey. Like, I love the bars now where it's like a mixologist and all the bartenders look like Lenin and Stalin.
And they make fun of people who go to cons. And you're like, that isn't okay. You were wearing a fedora, my friend.
Yeah. Have you been to the Thirsty Crow? It's on Sunset, kind of near...
Not yet.
Silver Lake, I guess?
Yeah.
It's totally one of those places where it looks like the bar staff and everyone in the place is cosplaying... old-fashioned, like, railroad workers. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's got, a vest and suspenders and are pretending that they're manual laborers, and you know they're all, the richest kids from USC. And it's really lame.
Oh, okay, you will enjoy this story. I bought a pair of shoes at an anime convention at a steampunk table.
I saw those shoes.
Did you see those shoes?
Remember at the Improv?
That's it. The greatest shoes in the world, right?
They're so good.
They have almost like a 2-inch heel or an inch and a half heel. I don't wear a heel, but I saw those shoes and I was like, I will be learning how to wear these damn shoes because they're the greatest shoes in the world.
So
cool. And they
cool.
have flathead screwdriver as rivets around
Oh,
them.
Wow.
So they're all steampunky and then a copper heel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're beautiful, beautiful shoes. I'm wearing them. Uh-huh. Guy Branum, famous gamer. and clearly, oftentimes, smartest man in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but Guy Branum says to me, those shoes are amazing. Where did you get those shoes? And I say to him, at an anime convention at a steampunk table, he says, stop talking. Stop. Why wouldn't you tell me that they were $700 Italian shoes? And I said, because I'm from Wisconsin. And I don't think I could face it. And
you can't support that lie. You'd have to keep lying and talking about the House of Milan that made them.
Right.
That was the same night that right after we saw Jackie's Miracle Shoes, Fortune Feimster and I were standing in the bar at the Improv, and a guy walked up to Fortune and I and said, hey, you two supermodels are comics. And I immediately looked at this guy and I was like, I didn't say it out loud, but I was like, fuck you, you're dead to me. Like, I'm not, no longer acknowledging you. He basically walked up and did an ugly girl joke to me and Fortune, And I was just like, I don't know who you are. Like, if that was you, we would both would have laughed and been like, you asshole, whatever. But I was just like, you're basically calling us ugly. And then stood there and tried to, like, riff or, like, it was like he really wanted us to think he was a comic, too. I've never seen this person before. Oh, I've never seen him do a set. And at one point, he said to Fortune, he's like, yeah, you're on this next show. And she's like, yeah, because Fortune's the nicest person in the world. I literally was not making eye contact. I was, like, staring at the wall. And he goes, I'll give you $3 if you mention the word penguin on stage. And I was like, okay, you've been on too many, like, websites and fan
you've
sites.
Too many roasts.
Yes.
I want to bury you headfirst in the sand and pour honey on your
face. Yeah, you've heard someone else tell a story about how they did this, like three comics did this to each other, and now you're coming up. We don't know who you are.
Right.
And you're challenging Fortune. I'm just like, what's happening?
Did you ever say something to him, or did you just ignore him?
I walked
away. You don't
want
to waste the energy.
I walked away. I didn't know what to say. First of all, it was all out. There was no in. Yeah. He was doing a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, once you call me ugly, I kind of don't feel like talking to you anymore.
Welcome to my lecture series, where I am I'm to be fascinated.
You're mistaking me for some girl, and I don't know who the fuck it would be that would actually pay attention to you. You fool.
Right, the weird, there is a new brand of comedy nerd that are like, they think that joking happens integrally. They're like, comics bust each other's balls.
And I experienced that a couple times on the Max Fun cruise, where people that seem harmless are actually really confident and willing to say shitty things to prove that they belong there too. And I'm like, yeah, that's not what we do. We don't
nobody really does
balls.
That actually.
Right. And if there's any of it, you almost immediately take it back. Or you are the greatest friends in the world. And you've said something like almost like Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis roast kind of quality of something like I would talk about. You know, you guys would mention something about my grandmother's phyllo dough. I mean, that's how obscure it would have to be for it to really work.
You know why? Because we would have been around each other several times before.
Right.
That's what friendship is.
Yes.
That's the thing that's missing, is actual human fucking connection. God forbid.
Right. Let's do this.
Oh, shell mad. Did your man just pull in the
that's
driveway?
Him.
What if Jackie just dropped the microphone and ran? Like, he's here, goodbye.
I missed you so much, Andy.
Andy.
Be my Valentine.
We would just watch out the window. Wow.
He's got to get the Ute to move.
Be my Valentine. I'm going to try to yell that at somebody.
They are. They're leaning right in front of your garage, aren't they?
Right on the garage,
Should we? I'm a little worried about. Are they roustabouts? Who knows how much malt liquor they've had? I gotta get it back.
I'm gonna crank the AC.
Chris is gonna start a fist fight with those teenagers. He just wants
to lose. They're very tough. Those children. They
Karen knows that I can take a punch.
Yeah,
I've never given one.
Oh, really?
I've only received. I'm very charitable during brawls.
During the fighting.
Allow me to get my part out of the way, and I lean forward.
Chin first.
You know what I've never got to work is the story about how my dad would occasionally get punched because he's a button pusher.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fine line between, because what he wants to do is he wants to irritate you just short of you punching him in the face. And that line, you cross that line, you don't notice.
Yeah.
Until you are punched in the face.
And then he's like, oops, I pushed an extra button.
Right. But even when he's on the receiving end of being punched, what I love about him is that he's like, oh no, that guy was right to punch me.
Wait, how often has this happened and how often have you been there?
At least twice, and one time when I was 9 years. The first time I remember it happening, I come out to breakfast, and I'm nine, and he's got a fat lip and a black eye, and I was like, what happened? He said, I won the argument.
Oh.
And, I said, Frank Pulaski punched me, I fell down, and he was kicking me. And I said, he kicked you when you were down, Dad? And he goes, yeah, that's what you do. You kick them when they're down so they don't get back up. And I was like, when you were being kicked, he was like, no, he was right, because then I might have got up. And one of the first things my father...
That's the best.
As was a child, one of the other great lessons, my father, I don't know that he's the hero of any of this podcast.
He is to me.
Yeah, because he would always say, run. It was one of his first lessons. He's like, yeah, live to fight again. I'd rather be called a coward than an idiot. And he's like, get out.
Oh, that's the best.
It's a good lesson.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything. He literally has nothing to prove.
My mom gave me a can of pepper spray when I was young and said, oh, keep this in your pocket, and if anyone ever bothers you while you're skateboarding, spray him in the face with it. And I did. I remember it had a little pink pleather case around it, and I used it twice, yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Twice?
Yeah.
So you had to get it refilled.
One time, these kids came out of a house. One of my friends was dating a girl. We were young. We were still in high school, and these guys were college-aged. And they just came out and started punching us. And I didn't do it this time. I gave it to Matt, my friend, because I was scared. But he just went, it just is a steady stream, and it got everyone in the face. And we were like, oh, no, because people... They were freak crying and yelling, and I thought, oh my God, we blinded these guys.
Right.
And all they did is punch, they punched one of us. And then the fire department came and they said, no, you did the right thing.
Yeah.
You're defending yourself with peppers.
With the pepper.
I'm like, this,
you didn't kill them.
This is the best. It will immobilize. So anyone I know that is like, I'm scared to walk to my car, I live in a weird neighborhood, I'm like, get pepper spray, it's the best. You can spray people 20 feet away.
And then is that
they
true?
Yeah, it's a steady stream, and then they just kick and scream.
Don't do it into the wind, because then you pepper spray yourself.
And don't test it in your mouth.
That's the other thing. Yeah, don't put it in your face before you kiss someone.
Have you ever used pepper spray?
I've never used it, but my old roommate, Maleva, had a pepper spray in a little container on her key ring.
Yeah.
And I went to pick her up at the Burbank Airport one time, and this was before pre-9/11, so you could go and wait at the gate.
Yeah.
You just had to go through security. And I took those fucking keys through security, got pulled over. The guy was like, is this pepper spray? And they were her keys, so I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were like, you cannot bring this in. And I was like, yeah, but... And basically, they called the Burbank cops over.
Oh, wow.
And right as I watched the cop walking up to me, something weird, and this has happened to me a couple times where I'm about to get in trouble, I get super aggressive, and I think it helps. Because the guy was like, ma'am, do you know that this is illegal? And I go, they're my roommate's keys. And I just started yelling at the guy. Like, I was so, because I really was angry. It was like, right. I felt like I got set up.
Yeah.
And then he was like, okay, I just have to take it. And I'm like, good, I want you to take it. And then they just basically like wanted to get away from me. So just took it away from me and walked away.
We're so lucky that we're white ladies.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I jumped out of a car, I got pulled over, and I just got my first DUI.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen. Again, another story where I am the hero.
Suggesting there was
so
a second.
I pull over and I'm going 57 and a 55. I jump out of my car in the dark on a highway, and I go and I walk back towards the cop car, and I'm yelling, "I was not speeding!" And the guy goes, "I did not say you were," in a voice of my older brother, essentially. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "You don't have any lights on the back of your car."
Uh-huh.
And I was like, He said, well, can I see your license and registration? And immediately I'm a puddle because I'm like, I did a dumb thing a couple of weeks ago, so all I have is these weird pile of crumpled papers that say that I don't have a license to drive to my work. And then I had one of those fancy ginger beer bottles in the back seat. He's like, do you have open containers back here? And I said, it's ginger ale. I'm so sorry. It's ginger ale.
With the word beer on it. Something that still confuses me as an adult. Ginger beer, huh? That's pretty good beer. It's soda pop.
Oh. Right. And I wasn't killed. But I think I would have been.
Yeah, both your stories are the beginning of a YouTube video that I've seen on Facebook recently.
Yeah, exactly.
I do not want to watch any more of these cops.
No, I'm done.
This is like that Dave Chappelle bit where he's with his friend and they get pulled over with his white friend who's and he's like, just take it easy. I'm going to again do a famous bit incorrectly. That's going to be my new bit. Is it be like, you know, that Jerry Seinfeld bit? What's the matter with coffee?
What's the matter with driving in cars with Canadians getting coffee?
What's the matter with the different things that happen in the post office? That is never
said. Did he say it that way? Yeah, that was my favorite joke of his. What's the matter with the way things happen at the post office? It's so true.
It just resonates.
that's
why everyone loves it.
Do you have any, we're getting towards the conclusion.
Let's do it.
Do you have any announcements about your life or things that you'd like?
Announcements.
That's the theme song.
I would like to announce. How quick do these go out? Do you just
tomorrow morning.
Right, you're like, I don't do anything.
Yeah.
You just clean it up, level it, drop.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, no editing.
Totally I will send
raw.
It out.
This is it. We're on unfettered. Well, I'm in Los Angeles this week, and then I go to Zanies. I go to Zanies in Chicago.
Oh, that's a good club.
I've always heard it's
super
good.
Fun.
Yeah.
I'm doing several of them. I'm doing the one out in Rosemont one night, and then I'm doing the one downtown on the weekend. For a minute, I thought I was featuring for Nick DiPaolo, and I was like, no, I'm not. And not that Dave DiPaolo isn't a wonderful comic, but I don't know him, and I don't necessarily want to work with him.
Yeah, yeah, well, I know it's politics, and that's enough for me to not want to know his comedy. Well, sorry.
Yeah,
I'm just a judgy lefty.
Right. I don't even
and
know
he's a righty-tighty.
He seems... You know what he seems like? He seems like a bit of a Goomba button pusher.
Yep.
Mm. So I don't actually want to be ever... I'm related to that guy.
You've had plenty of that in your lifetime.
Exactly.
You want a nice Brian Regan style.
Exactly.
So you don't want to have to punch him like Pawlowski did your dad.
Exactly. Then kick him. And then... I have to... JackieCasher.com and DorkForest.com, I guess. And then get my album. It'll make an excellent
Horcrux.
See, I'd like to, if you could, if Karen Gareth could make up a name for my.
You should get this Horcrux. It's great. That's Jackie's album.
It's her favorite album.
And yes, and do listen to Jackie's podcast, Dork Forest. It is terrific.
Yes.
It is good times. And here's your FedEx Kinko's
card. Oh, thanks. Thank God. Ooh, there's still a lot of credit on this.
Should we do the. Do we have anybody to thank ourselves?
I want to thank again whoever started the DYNAR fan tweet.
Yeah.
And now there's a Facebook page that you can like.
Oh, really? I'm not on Facebook. That's my favorite thing to say to anybody.
You did have a judgy tone when you said it. And go to iTunes and give us a rating, preferably a positive one. And,
if you can.
But do what you can.
Yeah, I mean, please be honest.
And thank you for listening. You've been listening to Do You
D-Y-N.
Need a Ride? Oh, yeah. No, it's okay. We'll start at the same time.
Okay.
Join in. DYNAR. Damn it. We have to do it at the same time.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us the time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.